Okay, the first thing I have to do is make this statement so you know what we're doing. So the key objective of this interview is to serve as a research tool to document memories of the American chestnut. Information obtained in these interviews will be retained and made available for further use in efforts to promote a better understanding of the role of the American chestnut. So have you signed the participant identification and release agreements?
Yes, I have.
Okay, great. Now we're ready to start. You start by just telling me who you are, where you're from, whatever kind of biographical information you
need. Okay. Stop me if I talk too much because I can do that. My name is Gary Carver, and I am in the Maryland chapter of the American Chestnut Foundation. Right now I'm vice president, but as I think I told you earlier, it's because I failed. I have been chair of the nominating committee for many years, and it was for self-protection, but I couldn't find a nominee for vice president. But what I really do for the chapter that I love doing is chairing the location committee. And when anybody reports an American chestnut tree in Maryland, I go and look at it, or sometimes I have them send me leaves, depending on the situation, but most of the time I'll go and look at the tree if I think there's a good chance it's American chestnut. Now, usually one in three of them are American chestnut. The other ones range from slippery elms to horse chestnuts and buckeyes and all sorts of different things. But it's fun talking to people because I always use it as an education opportunity. I bring burrs and leaves and twigs and pictures to show them. So that they will be educated, and next time they report a tree, it's likely to be an American chestnut. I'm a wood carver now. I actually have a PhD in physics, and I worked for the federal government, retired from the federal government, worked for the Jet Propulsion Laboratory for 5 years, and then I did a left brain, right brain transition, and I do wood carving, and one of my favorite woods to carve is old American chestnut. In fact, as an aside, this evening you will see one of my carvings. If you're here for the ceremonies, you're going to be here tonight, you will see one of my carvings of American chestnut because it's going to be given as a gift. It's a bird. That's all I can tell you right now. But in any event, I love wood, and American chestnut wood is just about the most beautiful wood. Ring porous woods are more dramatic in their grain characteristics than most other woods. You know, the rings, the annual rings, are very dramatic and they stand out, as opposed to like cherry or maple, which are more uniform. Those are called diffuse porous woods, and you don't see that dramatic layer of pores that the ring porous woods grow every spring. And the early wood is all porous, and the rest of the summer grows a layer of wood without pores. And if you look at American chestnut wood, like the pieces that are upstairs, you'll see exactly what I mean now that I've said this. But I love carving it. Now, nobody in their right mind would carve American chestnut or in fact, any ring porous wood, because when you get into the layer of pores, you can't do details in it. It's sort of friable and fragile. Old wood is even worse because it's sort of brittle and it's non-uniform. There are soft spots. There are insect damage, embedded nails, all sorts of things. So old American chestnut is the worst, and the thing that makes it even worse than compared to other woods is it splits so easily. They used to take 20-foot logs and split them to make rails for rail fences, split rail fences. You can't do that with most woods. And oak, if you ever cut oak for firewood, you have to tear it apart because it has rays. It has fibrous tissue that goes across the grains. But I love carving. It's so exciting and the challenge of adjusting as I cut into the wood and find different things. And you'll see this carving I mentioned this evening. I remember the very first time I even heard about American chestnut was when I was working in a summer camp. I was in high school. This was in the 1950s. And we went up to Bear Mountain State Park. And by the ski jump that they use in the Olympics, so they used to use in the Olympics, there is a ski lodge. And it's a wooden building. And right outside, there is a plaque. I remember this. It said the General George Washington had an etching of a big tree. And it said that the ski lodge was built entirely from this one tree. And I couldn't believe that. But I remember it vividly. That's exactly what it said. And then I became aware. From that, I became aware of American chestnut trees. And I remember working in summer camps and going into the woods and finding chestnut trees. And they are so beautiful. The bark is so smooth when they're young. The bark is so smooth and such a pretty color. And the leaves are so pretty. And I've always loved the tree. But, you know, over the years, working and especially being a scientist and putting in long hours and traveling a lot, it's only now that I've been able to have more time that I've gotten much more involved in dealing with the American Chestnut Foundation. And I have about 150 trees I've planted on my property. None of them are in the Backcross program, because what I try to do is find large survivors and get nuts from them and grow their progeny on my property so that in the future their genes will be involved, because it's so sad to see these trees dying, which is basically, we lose one or two large trees in Maryland every summer, and it's really, really sad. And I'm trying to develop a technique for rooting twigs, and everybody keeps telling me I'm crazy because they've tried all different kinds of techniques. Chestnut does not like to root, but some of these large survivors that are living in the woods, and the deer are eating the sprouts, and the trees are dying, and we're losing their genes, and I almost cry over it, seriously. I'm trying to find a way to take some tissue from them and regenerate it into another tree so that we can plant it in an orchard area, and when it blooms, be able to use it in the breeding program. And there are, grafting doesn't work very well, and nut grafting, I've tried that a zillion times. That doesn't work very well. People say it works, but it doesn't, not with chestnut. And I'm trying to, you know, I'm crazy, but I'm stubborn. See, that's why I have a PhD. I was stubborn. I didn't want to leave school. I stayed to the end till they threw me out with the last degree. But, I'm just berserk about chestnuts, as most people are here. And they're just so lovely. My grove of trees, I walk among them and talk to them. So far, they're all healthy. They're just so friendly and so nice to be with. Anyways, I'm babbling now. So what?
Well, how many years have you been a member of the Chestnut Foundation?
You know, I try to think about that. It's at least 10, but I don't remember exactly when I joined. Yeah. I'll have to go back and look.
How'd you hear about it, or what motivated you to get involved with the Chestnut Foundation?
I don't remember that either. I was trying to think. Somebody must have told me about it, or I don't know. I don't remember.
Did you plant your orchard after?
Oh, yeah. Well, I was involved with the American Chestnut Foundation before the state of Maryland had a chapter. And so I used to go to the Pennsylvania meetings. And I even donated some of my carvings in chestnut for their silent auctions and stuff. And then Maryland formed a chapter, and I got involved right from the start.
One other thing that I've been asking folks is, do you have any kind of concerns or hopes or fears for the work that's going on right now with the Chestnut Foundation and kind of the future of this whole breeding program?
Yeah, well, obviously, we don't really know if these trees are resistant to all of the strains of the blight fungus. We also don't know whether these trees, we've been selecting them for American character and for blight resistance, but we don't know how vigorous they're going to be in a forest setting. In other words, how competitive are they going to be compared to other trees in the real world? See, we're growing them in orchards, and it's only in the last year or two that we've started planting them in other settings, like on strip mine land and in some forest settings to test out. But, you know, I worry about that. And the other thing I worry about is, since I do the identification in the state of Maryland, I look at these trees and I can see Chinese character in them. And it sort of makes me want to barf. They're not pure American. And in fact, they're not even 94% American. Statistically, you probably heard this, but statistically, they should be 94% American in terms of number of percentage of genes, American genes versus Chinese genes. That's not true. It's not statistical. The genes don't line up exactly, and so groups of them get carried. It's called transposition. And these trees actually have a lot more Chinese genes in them than you would think from the statistics. And when I look at them, I see Chinese character, and it sort of bothers me. There's another parallel program, which in fact, Fred Hebbard, the chief scientist of the American Chestnut Foundation, is to find large survivors and breed them together. There's another organization called the American Chestnut Cooperators Foundation. You probably heard that. Yeah, Blacksburg, right. They promote that. And Fred has done some of that, and I've done some of that. I don't know that that ever has a chance of working, but boy, I wish it would, because those trees would be 100%. Well, when we say 100%, we don't really know, because for 200 years, different species of chestnut have been brought here to the United States and been planted, and so there may be some non-American character in some of these trees, and we don't even have a standard to know what pure American really is until we do the gene studies and all that, which are just now being done. But when I look at these sixth generation trees, the B3, F3s, I see Chinese character, and it bothers me. So that's my biggest concern. But the other side of the coin is, do you want to have a tree versus no tree? And of course, we'd rather have a tree. So those are my concerns.
Yeah. Well, are there any other stories or memories you have from growing up or from your work with the Chestnut Foundation in Maryland and Philosophy?
Let me tell you one other thing. Since I do wood carving, I do craft fairs. And the very first craft fair I ever did was an Oktoberfest at a historic mansion in Frederick, Maryland. And I sold my very first big carving there. It was a carving of a falcon. And the gentleman who bought it, I remember this clearly. In fact, I get emotional just thinking. Excuse me. This is crazy. This guy comes over, he's talking to my wife, because I was busy with another customer, and she introduced him to me. I can't believe I get so emotional about it. I didn't even drink anything last night. He told me, when he started talking to me, that when he was growing up, there's a big tree in front of his house. And he and his brothers played in it. They climbed it, they had a swing, and one summer, they know that I can't even talk.
Take your time.
Give me a minute, yeah. I'm sorry.
No, it's great. Take your time.
One summer, they noticed that the tree was getting brown, and they asked their father, and their father said that all of the chestnut trees were dying. And this guy, he said he and his brothers cried. They couldn't believe that their friend was dying. And he bought one of my carvings. He was holding it like this, and as he left, he said, "You made my day, thank you, you made my day." He still calls me every once in a while. Older than I am.
That's great.
But
what is it about chestnut trees? Or, how did you get so wrapped up with the chestnut specifically?
Can't I? I don't understand it. But there's something that's so beautiful. The story is so sad. The first major ecological catastrophe involving alien species, because the fungus is an alien invader. And the trees are just so beautiful. The wood is beautiful. And if you see a chestnut tree growing in the woods, they always stand out, and not just because they have blight on their bark, but because just the way the leaves hang down, and they droop just a little bit, and there's something about them that just stands right out. They just pop right out when you see them. Anyways, I'm sorry, I didn't...
No, that was great. It's fine.
No, it's not great. It's
no,
crazy.
It's great.
I'm a grown person.
You care so much about it, though.
I'm a grown person.
No, it's good that you care so much about it. Is there any other stories?
No, but I'm mad at you now for making me do this.
can I ask you a question?
Yeah, go for it.
You said you're the guy that goes out, when you get a call to find out, what is it? Is it really American? Are there any particular calls that you've gotten, that are memorable, that stand out? Because it was a spectacular tree, or because it wasn't a spectacular tree, or a...
No, people are usually thrilled if you tell them that, even if you verify that it's really an American chestnut tree, they're usually thrilled, and you end up spending... I figure that it's an hour that I have to spend if it's not American, and if it's 2 hours if it is American. But I'll tell you one story. I went to a woman's house who had a chestnut tree in the back, and it wasn't planted. This is a little wild section in the back of her yard. And when I got there, there was a relatively small tree. It was about as tall as I am, maybe. And she had a little sign at the base saying American chestnut, and she had put rocks around. Oh, she decorated it all. It was really sweet, except it turned out to be a chinkapin. And I had great difficulty trying to tell her what it really was. And then she got very sad. She was very unhappy. And so I tried to explain to her. I said, you know what? The chinkapin is a cousin to the American chestnut, and they're more rare in this part of Maryland than the American chestnuts are. So you actually have a much more special tree in some ways than an American chestnut. And I showed her samples of the leaves and the comparison, and I made her happy again, and that felt good. There was a woman who called me also, I think it might have been even on the same excursion to look at trees, who showed me a tree that turned out to be a slippery elm. And I explained to her that it wasn't an American chestnut and what it was. And she says, well, are there American chestnuts around here? I said, yeah, I think there are. That's why I came here, and why I thought what you had reported might have a chance of being an American chestnut. But, you know, don't worry about it. It doesn't waste my time. I'm happy to help you out. And she says, well, but you still think there's American chestnuts around? I should look for them. I said, yeah. So she goes, well, what about that one over there? Is that American chestnut? Well, how about that one? That might be an American chestnut. You know, she's pointing at walnut trees. But it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. I love doing that.
Great. Yeah. Well, if you guys have anything else you want to share?
No, I'm going to get out of here. You guys are bad news.